welcome to the Lobby Pod here on Center Maryland, and it is a distinct delight and blessing to have a very special guest today. For you and our whole Annapolis community, we'll recognize her by her credentials, I think. I'll first start with some easy ones. She was the longtime executive in a major public-facing role for Comcast for probably over a decade. She led BWI Airport's marketing efforts with a great team over there. And then this will probably, if you haven't figured it out, this will probably do it. She also spent, according to Josh Kurtz, 14 years at her family's company, DK Miller's, which is the famous grocer and liquor store in Clinton, Maryland, home to Senate President Mike Miller and his family. His star is with us today. That's Melanie Miller. Melanie, welcome to Center Maryland. Welcome to the Lobby Pod.
Hey, Damian, what's happening? Great to be here.
That's why everybody loves Melanie. She brings a lot of joy and lift to every conversation. Melanie, let's get right down to business. You know, you spend all this time working with people in Annapolis, working for one of the biggest media companies in the world. But now you're doing something pretty special. Did you do in your own thing? And I'd love to, for everybody to hear about it.
Oh, you're so great, Damian. I mean, a long-time friend. You know, I'll start, first want to tell you that, you know, the proudest moment in my career, it wasn't the paid one. It was the one of two of them, certainly, being president of the Young Democrats of Maryland for 10 years, huge Young Democrats. And we'll talk more about the people that came through that organization and allowed me to certainly get involved in politics as my dad was president of the Senate. And then what happened was, right before COVID, I had lost my position at Comcast. They decided to move to different directions. At that time, the most special time of my life, my new role, God had my role, because it was that caregiver of Thomas E. Mike Miller. And with my twin sister and my other sisters and my mom, full time during COVID, we took care of this beautiful man. And so at that time, I learned a lot about him. We had these long talks about the business, what I was going to do. And, you know, frankly, you know, a lot of people thought I was going to be a successor to him in his seat.
That's right.
And it was interesting, and it was a lot of pressure. And being around him even more, I understood that his legacy was so unique that I needed to play a different role, because of the fact that there are already people in place in the district. I didn't live in the district. Michael Jackson was a great person. My dad, you know, got involved. My dad, father got involved in politics. And so he picked it up, and he was a great replacement and the perfect replacement for my father. So then, you know, as we're talking, as my dad is talking, he's like, Melanie, you do good. What you do good is you do good building businesses. What I did with a Comcast, I work with the teams. I work with the business teams, infrastructure, putting broadband, connecting folks. And so what I understood was, is Thomas V. Mike Miller's success, a lot of it is attributed to him connecting folks. And that's what the value, the legacy that he brought to me, to a lot of my siblings, that we have these extroverted personalities. So I'm like, all right, I can do this. I can do this, Dad. So, you know, after he passed away, you know, we can talk more about, but I tell you, people are not prepared. When that happens, it's like a good 3 months. You got to figure it out. You know, and I, all of a sudden it came to me in the middle of the night, true story, the middle of the night, I woke up, I started writing at 2 a.m, Miller Partnership Consultants. Like, what the heck is Miller Partnership Consultants?
Partnership is a great word that is not used enough in this community that we're a part of. You hear great doctors like Dr. Mohan Suntha talk about partnership. You hear our medical community talk about it, but you know, in the influencer and in the lobbying and in the Annapolis culture, man, that's a powerful word, and you're really leveraging
it. I mean, you know, it's bringing your podcast, Center Maryland. What you do is you provide information connecting folks. And that's why I get in my head is, how do you connect communities? I did it through Comcast. I did it at BWI. I did it through Young Democrats, connecting folks. A lot of people, you know, don't have those, what do you say, connections to able to get things done, but we can do it. So that's what I figured, Miller Partnership Consultants. It's strategic business development and consulting. And, you know, and most of the people listen to your podcast, many of you know about, you know, the Maryland Municipal League, Maryland Association of Counties, Maryland Economic Development Association, these incredible organizations that thousands of businesses participate in, and chambers and business groups, let's not forget them, thousands of people participate in, and they all do good work for the state. And so how do you get a business, that a new business coming into the state, trying to figure it out? Call me, I'll make your introductions for you. You want to meet the Anne Arundel County Chamber of Commerce president? We'll make it happen. You want to meet the Maryland Chamber of Commerce president? We'll make it happen. I realize now the benefit of the experience I've had is to make the connections. And a lot of people don't answer the call if you don't have a connection. And that's what I give people. I'm making the connections.
Well, what's beautiful for folks in the lobbying community is that they would tell you, hey, I'll be happy to set up that meeting for you. But they can't, what they don't want to do is get dragged into the programming and the partnership activities and the advertising, all the social media. They, you know, they want to connect you, but they got a day job to do. And so what you're really providing people, you know, in the business community that are wanting to connect in Maryland is not just so that they will, you know, have a strong foothold with a strong lobbyist in Annapolis or the county seat, but that they become a part of that Maryland business community, political community, governance community, culture. Am I hitting it right?
Exactly, Damien. Exactly. I mean, my world is not a lobbyist in terms, I don't, you know, passing bills. And frankly, I don't know if I'm able to walk into that state house without, you know, seeing that my dad laid in state there. So I don't even, I'm not the lobbyist. You know, right. I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I'm the person that will connect you to and make your business, get your business, get money. I want your business to make money. So I want you to be successful in our great state. And what can I do? That's the way, is to meet more people. It's meeting county governments and meeting local governments. How do you do business with the state? How do you do business with county government? These are the things that I can help people do.
You know, I follow most of this stuff on social media, but when we talked in Annapolis at lunch several months ago, we had that sort of brief hiatus, it seemed, from the pandemic. You know, you were talking about your vision and putting together this company, and I think it was before summer Mako, maybe, mm-hmm. that we got together.
Yes.
And that's right, it was. And you were talking about your vision for this, and then it made so much sense to me looking back, because it seemed to me for that last year, 18 months or 2 years, whatever it was, you were at the right hand of the most respected, effective legislator in American history. And you got to go out with him in the most, you know, honored, treasured, intimate kind of way you could do that. And when we saw you doing that, you were in the mix. You know, you were at these conferences, you were being supportive of your father. And then you told me what you wanted to do. And the next thing I saw, I'm on social media, I think I'm on LinkedIn, and I see you at this very prominent energy company. I think you had the governor on like a solar powered bicycle or something. I just, and it just seems so seamless to me. day. So I wanted to congratulate you on that, but I'd love to hear your reaction to that. And I'd love to hear how you made that first event click, because that to me, you know, it made all the sense.
And thank
the world.
You so much. Yes. And you know, it's amazing because, you know, I've worked these organizations for 20 years. And so I've seen, but then I've also worked politics. So together I see how in Maryland, it's very unique that the senators and delegates take part in these county government, municipality leaders. It's huge. It's not the same in Virginia or other states. So, but Maryland, what happened was, is the pandemic, and frankly, with Comcast didn't fill my role. So what happens, we have summer Mako, but guess what? Comcast didn't have someone to work their booth. So they didn't put a booth up.
Right.
So smart Melanie says, hey, I'm taking their booth. So I got Southland Industries. I said, come on guys, we can get this booth. So we got that prime corner spot. Everybody stopped there. I mean, everyone in the history knew to stop there. And so I got that booth. And then ironically, so Southland was there. We got a bike. I knew, you know, I know the governor's staff. Come on, governor, come on. And I saw the, you know, the county executives. I saw, you know, the mayor of Baltimore. And, you know, all my friends, they knew to stop there, called them all ahead of time. And it was fantastic. And so Southland Energy, you know, the cool thing about them is they, you know, have custom solutions. And, you know, for the energy solutions, they save money for these county governments. County governments want to save money. So they got these great solutions. But the cool thing is they're community partners too. They give back, they're community partners. They got teams, employees in the state. So it's an exciting partnership that we have with Southland. And I loved what they do. But the cool thing was also is for the last 10 years when I worked that booth, across from me was this woman, Stephanie Bridgeforth, that she had another booth from another energy company. But guess what? That energy company changed and we had become friends for 10 years. So that's when she hired me for Southland to help them in business development. Natural fit. We were right there in that prominent spot and we took it over.
You love this. I mean, just to continue your momentum, you know, I've been listening to some scientists talk about the last plague or pandemic that we went through as Americans in 1918 and just the boom of social activity and social programming that occurred in the wake of that pandemic. I can see that happening here. You know, just now we're hearing that the legislature's gonna start convening a bit more in person. And it seems like your approach and your business is just a perfect contact point to get back into this very personal, very relationship business, you know, and put you to work to connect them in a hurry in some fun environments, right? I mean, I've always counted on you, whether it's the conventions or Annapolis, to be at the center of some of the, you know, best entertainment and fun and the amazing stuff you did with your father. Are we going to see a little bit of that culture coming back with you?
I'm sure. I'm telling you, you missed it. You weren't there, Damian, but guess what? Winter Mako, and that's like the secret one to me, is a lot of people don't know about it, but Winter Mako, and it's at Cambridge Hyatt, was fantastic. Yeah, we were in the pandemic, and I will say, you know, some people missed it because of COVID, but you have county executives, you have their chiefs of staff, you have a dedicated group, and don't take this the wrong way, of riffraff, but you don't have all that ancillary people.
That's right. You don't have to drive 30 streets to go to the next event.
And you have it exclusively to yourself at Winter Mako.
Right.
It was crazy amazing. And, you know, that I have, and I had Southland there. And then the other side, and so Southland, the cool thing with them also is the infrastructure. You have to remember, Damian, the federal government is throwing money at these counties and these local governments. They're like, what the heck do I do? But what happens is the state and county governments, they don't have the employees that can kind of figure it out. Half of the employees that people have left, people come back. Well, that's what they have to spend this infrastructure money. So that's what Southland, which I found the connection so important, because they have employees ready to go to spend the infrastructure money and then get it done right away. And so that's what's really exciting, because so it's a product that county governments can be helped with. And that's what's really exciting. And, you know, you talked and going back to the other incredible organization, and I'll give a plug to them because it's my favorite organization in the state of Maryland. If you're doing business in the state of Maryland and you're not at this conference, you're missing out. It's Maryland Economic Development Association. It's in April. The best conference, hey, now, bar none.
That's a hot tip.
Yeah. Oh,
tell me why. Tell me why.
Because you know what it is? It's every economic development leader in the state or local government, and they want to make money for their counties. They want to spend money for their counties. They want their county to be the best county. So they have all the ideas. So basically in April, 100% of the conference is going to be focused on infrastructure. It's focused on getting things done. You know, you can have a bureaucracy conference. Oh, this is talking about how to push paper, how to do this. No, I'm like a high energy person. I need to say, what can we do to get it done? And that's what MITA does. I mean, you got David Iannucci, who's president. He's a Prince George's Economic Development Leader.
The greatest of all time.
I know. He was the top guy under Paris Glendening, and he's now helping Prince George's. You got Ben Wu, who's Montgomery County Economic Development. Right. I mean, they want to make it happen, and I love it. The Baltimore folks, I mean, amazing. So that's coming
April.
Up.
And it's, where do they host
the Cambridge
that?
Is High that like in
Cambridge
so
High?
You are stuck there with everybody. It is, I mean, Pam Ruff, I mean, she's the executive director. She's been there for so many years, and she connects people like no other. And so it's such a great organization. And so, but again, like it would, so, you know, I don't, but with our family, and I feel like, you know, as my dad, Thomas E. Mike Miller, Senator Miller, he always had each child helped him in different ways being a senator.
But talk about so that I a was, bit. So,
yeah.
So how'd you divvy the work up?
Yeah, we divvied the work up. So I was kind of like the political daughter, but on the business side. So like at these conventions or at Chamber of Commerce, if he had to speak, I would go with him. I'd get the people ready. And then he would kind of walk in, and I mean, and you're everybody on the call would just know, you know, you saw his white hair and then his blue eyes. And it felt like the whole crowd parted for him, frankly, when he walked in. He just walked in with such a presence. And that was my role with him, was these chambers and these conferences. So I represented a company, but I also always walked out of the house representing him. And that's what's very unique. That with what I always think about in my head is, what would Mike do? What would Dad say? And then of course, you know, we had the only reason we all know he was successful, the secret, he had Patty Miller right beside him.
I mean,
that is the secret to his success.
The first, you know, lady, and they first said, ladies.
I love it, first lady. But you know what's so cool is, and I heard this, and they said, you know, he wore the pants of the family, but she bought it and picked it out and laid it out. He did not wear anything.
Anytime I was spent with him, he would always remind me of that story that he first, I think the first time he met your mother's parents, and he like had dirt under his fingernails, and he made it sound like he was this rumpled country, you know, figure in front of this very glamorous and cosmopolitan young lady.
I know. Isn't it so true? I mean, it's crazy. And just being...
Look what she did to him all those years. Like, you look at the course of that relationship, by the time that man went out, he was, you know, the most dapper, elegant human being of all time. So she, you know, she took him to new levels upon levels.
Right? Oh, I tell you, he had joy because he was able to come home and recharge and walk in that house, no matter what time of night he walked into the house, my mother had a hot meal waiting for him. He would call her 30 minutes before he was coming home, and he'd say, "All right, Patty, I'm coming home." And then mom would say, "Well, what do you want for dinner? You know, figuring something out." And then he's like, "Whatever you have, whatever you can, you know, have." And of course, my mom will have like a 4-course meal. And, you know, and dad's like, "Oh gosh, Patty." He just knew. But then he would get that little twinkle in his eye, and she'd have his plate of food ready. And it was just this love affair that, oh my gosh, oof, I'm just happy.
Talk about how Patty and your sisters and your brother, how you're all supporting each other through, we're going through sort of the 1 year point, right? Well,
yeah, 1 year, but it's, and even, you know, probably what, 2-3 years, you know, we was diagnosed, kind of figured it out, but, you know, each child serves a purpose. Like, you know, my twin sister is just like our amazing medical twin. And so she's physical therapist, but she always made sure, you know, she went to all the doctor's appointments with my mom, and then they, you know, managed the medicines and, you know, and figuring out what medicines he need, what kind of equipment. Did he need a walker? Right. Did he need a roller walker?
Right.
I mean, these are the things. How do families do it when you don't have like a posse of eight?
Right. Very good point.
I mean, it's crazy. My sister Missy, God love her, she manages a law firm. So she's right. up all night doing the law. She's doing dad's cases. She's covering him there. She's, you know, she's figuring this out. And then Tommy is the same thing. Tommy, you know, Tommy was in charge of trash. We had so much trash because we had so many people living at the house taking care of him. And Tommy on Wednesday and Sundays had to drive to get the trash and take it to the dump.
Well, I remember your dad always telling stories when you all were babies about the taking out the trash and the diapers. So it's we've come full circle, oh, I think.
Full
right?
circle. Yeah. Tommy was in charge, definitely charging the trash. And here my mom like went to the grocery store every day to get dad's favorite food. I mean, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, my dad lived 8 months longer than anybody expected, than the doctors thought. Because basically he, you know, they thought he was done. And we're like, no, he's not. His mind is still brilliant. He wasn't done. And so we cared for
him. I remember him telling Senator Frank Kelly that, you know, that Frank relayed to me. They just
yes.
felt so strong in his mind.
Oh my gosh. Even like, you know, here, you know, me and my twin, we're in menopause mind. And we're like, Dad, what's that guy's name? He's like, Jim Smith. You know, he knew everybody. He would... You know, we have the stories where my poor dad couldn't even get off his back because of the pain. And I mean, and so, but he's on these video conferences, and he didn't have to go to Annapolis. He worked his job through Zoom. So he was this brilliant senator. But the cool thing is that he was able to help Bill Ferguson be the best Senate president he could, you know? He could talk to him. He could, Bill Ferguson or even some of the lobbyists. He called him up. Dad would call Bill. Hey, Bill, you could do it this way. Or Bill would call him. Hey, you know, President Emeritus, what do you think about this? Melanie Griffith. I mean, you know, different Senator Griffith, different senators would call him, and he would give them advice. And that's what was so powerful, is that, you know, he gave him advice. And, you know, the other cool story, which I tell you about the Senate, is Tony Hayes. He's my love. So Tony Hayes.
I don't think people get this. So let me give him a little bit of a background. So,
yes.
You know, I know you're only 39, but you've seemed to have been running the Maryland Young Democrats for 40 years, you know, so I don't know how you pull that off, but it's a wonderful thing. But what that means is, whether it's a Craig Zucker or Antonio Hayes or Corey McCray or all these senators, I call them young senators
because
I got from the Miller era, right? But they came up with you in politics, so to speak. Ain't that right?
100%. You know, I'm sorry to, you know, go backtrack on this. It's a very interesting story, though, is because, you know, you have to remember in 1999, I had a root canal. That basically the dentist didn't give me antibiotics, and whatever the case may be, who's wrong or right, but I ended up having heart failure. So I had open heart surgery at the age of, you know, 29, and I have mechanical heart valves. So like your life changes forever. You have open heart surgery.
Does that make you fearless now?
It does.
Is that why you're so fearless?
Well, you know, frankly, my heart ticks. It's like wearing a freaking clock under your chin all the time. So, you know, it just, it makes you keep going. Your clock is ticking. I'm good. So it does. You tick loudly. So it's interesting because true story. So in right before 2000, so 1999, you know, Derek Leon Davis in Prince George's County. And then we had
Leon Davis, the master of the council.
Yes. Right? Master of the council. This is 1999. And then Justin Ross, big time lobbyist. And now
Justin Ross. Yeah. Well, he was like the whip or the majority leader there.
Yes. Well, we were just young Dems. And then Ben Barnes. And then Kenny Battle was
such a handsome. He was one of the most handsome.
He's elected officials. I know. I love my boys. And so they called me up and we had a little meeting and they're like, hey, Mel, you know, we think you'd be great as the president of Young Democrats. I'm like, of what? Never been to a Young Democrat meeting. And they're like, you need to be president of the Maryland Young Democrats. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Because I had just changed a life and I'm like, okay, I can do it. And so, you know, become president of these Young Democrats. So interesting story is we go to Arkansas to this Young Dem of America's meeting and we're kind of going to take it over. So we raise money for like 12 people to go. And next thing you know, who do we meet there? Who is the national committee man? Was Todd Turner. And Todd Turner, now the councilman in Prince George's County, as a council leader. So it turns out he wants to move to Maryland. He's the president of New York Young Democrats. He wants to move to Maryland. I said, okay, Todd, well, come on. I'll get you a job with my dad. So Todd comes home and his wife was from Bowie. And so they moved to Maryland. He gets a job in my dad's law office in Clinton. So it's like connecting folks. And that's really when it hit me is that here, Justin Ross and Ben Barnes and Derek Leon, they saw something in me to connect folks. And then next thing you know, Todd Turner, I connected him to dad. And it was so powerful. And then we come home and guess what happens, Damien? Here I am, I'm 29 years old. I might be 30 at this time. And so then they tell me there's this hot kid that's going places. And he's at the Frostburg. He's at the president of Frostburg Young Democrats. I said, I need to go to Frostburg. Like, what? So I take this, I grab one. I think it might've been Ben. I grab one of the Young Dems with me. 30 years old. I'm going to a party in Frostburg. And who is that president of Frostburg Young Dems? Antonio Hayes.
Ah, that was worth the ride.
I mean, I'm telling you what, Antonio Hayes, I go to this meeting in Frostburg. I'm like, what am I doing? And Antonio, and we have been best friends since then. And you know what?
People work harder that make it look as effortless as he does it? You know, he's a natural, isn't he?
But he is, Damien. But you know what? He's a natural because he has the most amazing wife, his partner. That's what made Mike Miller strong, because he had that grounding person at home. Tony's wife, Jenny, is the sweetest person. She's smart. She's successful. So he can make a salary of whatever, $45,000, and be okay with it.
Right.
Because
right.
He's a full-time legislature. And then she does well, and they're having a baby on the way. But, you know, that's what's so exciting about, you know, and then so I introduced Tony to dad. I'm like, come on, dad, you know, you got to talk to Tony. You got to get with him. But the thing with Mike Miller and with all his children, if you are a friend of his child's, they vouched for you and you are a good person and he will help you.
Yeah. And so was there some secret Melanie Miller, like clearance check that I didn't realize for the last 30 years going on?
There was, I mean, and you know, honestly,
there was.
But you know, it's, and I'll tell you, Tim Perry's and Jake, both of them, you know, dad, you know, at the times when he was looking at different chiefs of staff, you know, they were all kind of brothers to us. You know, we diverse to that too, but in Tim Perry, you know, I forgot who just left. It was Vicky before him or someone else. And Tim Perry, who's up to
hire new chiefs of staff. Steve Ports.
Steve Ports. And then, so Tim was in the basement. He worked in the basement. in the State House, and dad's looking and he's interviewing people. And I'd known Tim through Young Democrats, frankly. He was doing the same thing I was, but I knew he was so dedicated that he just, dad just loved him, but he loved dad. So next thing you know, so we're at home one night and he's talking about different chiefs of staff. He's interviewing. I'm like, dad, what are you doing? You got the best guy, the most loyal guy sitting right in the basement working for you, though.
He's a grown man carrying your golf bags. Is that not enough?
And so dad's like, Melanie, you're right. You're right. And so he would not. And I was like, God, just hire Tim. And Tim becomes this amazing chief of staff. And the same thing happened to Jake. Jake Wiseman was right behind Tim. Same thing. Jake's there. Dad's looking for new chiefs of staff because Tim left. I'm like, Dad, Jake's your guy. Are you kidding me? It's Jake. It's Jake. And dad got Jake. So he just, he saw loyalty, but you know, he reads the tea leaves. He knew everything. You know, he always told us that his motto was, you know, each one, reach one, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. It's right. Up to all of us to grab somebody, teach them what is our purpose in life. You know, got to teach them, right, Damien?
What a beautiful thing to say. What a beautiful thing to say.
I mean, can you imagine? This is the other thing I love about, I know we talk about my business, talk about dad, but I mean, the amazing thing is here this man, Senator Thomas E. Mike Miller, this beautiful dad, and his fraternity brother was Ken Michaels, the none other CEO of NI Michael Company, you know? And then, you know, it just, he had so many great people surrounding him. The Freddie Brown of J. Brown Jewelers in Baltimore.
The biggest mistake you can get into in Maryland politics is trying to congratulate and thank all of Mike Miller's top people, because you'll thank like the 15 greatest people to ever step foot in Annapolis, and then you'll leave five out.
Isn't that crazy? I know, starting Jerry Evans. I mean, the other chief staff, Jerry Evans, Joe Bryce, another brilliant one. He was my brother's fraternity brother at Maryland.
Right, right.
And you know, little connections like that.
He broke some glass ceilings too with Mel Wanger and Vicky Gruber.
Yes, brilliant. And so he always wanted to make sure to lift everyone up. And that's what I feel like, it was so wonderful with him and his leadership. And now, you know, I'm very thankful to, you know, frankly, have so many videos with him. Gosh, we took so many videos. If you're whoever's listening on this thing, you got daughters, you got sons, whatever, let them take videos of you or take videos of them, because the videos of my father are so powerful. And to hear the stories, I mean, Monday nights, I would be sitting on the Senate floor taking videos of him speaking, and or just, you know, as we were home during COVID, taking videos of his conversation.
I love that one that sounds like he's in, you know, I always like would sort of poke around. I just wish Mike Miller would have said, no more Larry Hogan. And then there would have been no more Larry Hogan. So I always say, you know, I wish he did that like he did to Bob Ehrlich. But, you know, he gave him a chance to do the right thing many times, which is what a statesman's supposed to do. And he had this great video. There's this great video that you shared with me where he must be talking to like a Southern Maryland audience or something. And he's like, look, I know y'all love Larry Hogan. I appreciate that. It's my job to tell you that we went from being first in the nation in education together, and then that now he's here, we're down to sixth and beyond. And you know, I know nobody wants to hear that, but it's my job to tell you that. I was like, that's the way you gotta do it, you know. Yeah, he just, you know, if you know, Mike Miller knows the way to do it with everybody, and that was such a great example of it. I'd love to hear what your favorite
ones
are.
Just the videos, certainly of that. I mean, I lived it with him, you know, all the campaigning when he would like, you know, he'd point across the room and just kind of wink and then give you a thumbs up. When Mike Miller gave you a thumbs up, you knew you made it.
That's
because
for sure.
I'll tell you what, and it's, people are going to laugh when I tell you this, but Because there's a time my father would have no problem telling you to go brush your hair. Go brush your hair. And I
remember he would tell Paul Pitts, Senator Pinsky, Chairman Pinsky, the great Paul Pinsky, he would tell him, like, he was not happy about that earring when he first came into the Senate.
And I find myself, and I mentioned, I just said it to somebody, and I had to apologize to the gentleman that I said it to, because he was at my level, but we were at an event and the gentleman didn't have a tie on. And I think my dad must have come through to me. The idea that I went up to this man and this person and I said, why don't you have a tie on? Why aren't you wearing a tie? This is a professional event. Like, can you imagine? Like, and then that's
something
like that.
Well, you're dealing with the biggest slob in Maryland politics, so obviously.
But you know, he just was impeccably dressed, and he had this love of life and this enthusiasm. And that's, you know, that's what he carried through to him, is in everything he did was this enthusiasm for life and just go, go, go. And just so incredible, so incredible that we had him. And then, you know, even like going to church, you know, going to church with that, you know, he'd high five a couple people as he's coming in, saying hi, he'd wave and he'd walk in. We'd walk halfway down on the left and he'd sit in the pew. And, you know, you saw him, he just was such a prayerful man. He prayed and he was close to God. And he just recognized that he had so many gifts and was so thankful. And so even the last part of his life, it was so rewarding as a child, you know, to say, have a dad say, I love you all the time. And me say, I love you back to him. And then he would say, I love you. And my mom would say, I love you more. I mean, to hear that and to feel it. And so, and I tell people, like, being a daughter of, you know, Mike Miller or Patty Miller, and going through life, it feels like I have one of these, it's a weighted blanket over you. And I feel like, and it's this blanket that just envelops you. And, you know, it just, you know, I sleep with one at night because it gives me that sense of calm. And it is a true story. If you have a child or if you want a good night's sleep, get yourself a weighted blanket. Well, guess what? I had a Mike Miller during the day, and then I have a weighted blanket at night. It is amazing. It's just amazing. This, you, he just wanted the best for you. And therefore you wanted to do the best. And then dad's favorite saying, a dad's saying all the time, and everyone just he would end the conversation and he'll say, he'll give you advice. Do this. He's like, are you listening? I'm like, yes, dad, I'm listening. And then he said, but his advice was always just do the best you can, because you knew that his best was over the top. So you knew the expectation was already over the top, but you knew that you could meet it, because the best that you can would meet Mike Miller's best you can. It was just, be still my heart. Love the man.
Yeah. He would pick you up when you were down too. I remember we had just, gotten beaten as bad as you can beaten in the Iowa caucuses. I mean, you can't get beat up any more than we were beaten up. And he called up the day after the Iowa caucus and said, I want you to come down to my office. So Steve Carney and I went down there. We were just felt privileged at that low moment that he was thinking of us. We walk in the room, he goes, now, I told you that was going to happen. But then he said, you know, he said, I need some help. We're going to try to pull the University of Maryland together with the University of Maryland Baltimore and make them a tighter unit than ever before. And we need your help and the help of so many other Marylanders to make it happen. And he, you know, right at our lowest point, I mean, we obviously knew that result was coming, but it's just such a personality shattering and ego shattering experience, all for the better. But then to have somebody of that magnitude, you know, somebody of that character and someone of that history to call you at that lowest moment and lift you back up You know, I'll never forget it. And I know he did that for thousands and thousands of people. Oh
yeah. I mean, everybody, I mean, even it's like a brotherhood, or he was a mentor. I mean, he was the peer of some people, but it was like, he was still their dad. Like, so like for instance, PJ Hogan,
that's right.
And it was, they were more of a peer in age, you know, but it was like, PJ Hogan was like a brother. And Bobby Neal and
It's because brothers and uncles are cooler to hang out with than dads, but they're not as loving and supportive. So even though he was a peer, he poured so much love on you, it had to feel kind of paternal. Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you just wanted to do good for him. You wanted Mike Miller to say, great job. And now
that's so true.
I mean, you made it. If you don't even need money, like, you know, Jerry Evans and all these top lobbyists, I can guarantee you they would give a year's salary for one more day of just Mike Miller saying great job. They would give it up just for that Mike Miller love. I know I'm the daughter, but a man like that just does not come around often. Ugh. And I don't know, Damien, if you remember this. This was the good one with the going back these young Dems. When he was chairman of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
Yeah, like no other.
Yes.
Tell people what that is, because a lot of people, even in our audience, might not understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Kerry campaign. So it was like 2004. It was he's head of all the he was all the president. He has a couple titles, presidents of all the presidents of senates in the country. Then he's chairman, president of all the legislatures in the entire country. It's the exactly. Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. And so his job was to make sure the Democrats held seats in every legislative state in the country. So he had a pinnacle. He managed each of these states to make sure we continued to gather seats, and it was incredible. And so I will never forget this. And he also, as at that convention in Boston, he was head of the DLCC. And so, you know, we raised as young Democrats about $42,000 to bring, it was 39 young Democrats or more to the convention to participate in it. You know, at that time, and we had Sarbanes, we had all the folks, all the leaders.
That was
there.
Boston, right?
Yes, Boston. And then who opens the entire national convention? First speaker stands up there, Mike Miller, president of the Senate of Maryland, Mike Miller, opening speaker the entire convention. As a daughter, it was like, I don't know, it was a rock concert that was crazy amazing. So that all of a sudden he gets up there, and people are cheering, Democrats, we can win. When next thing you know, Dad comes up, sits up there, and then he says, hello, Clinton, Maryland. And it was this crazy rock concert. And I got all my young Dems on the floor, and we were screaming, we're yelling. It was so amazing. And that memory of me, because it was me as a daughter, like seeing Dad, but then me as a Democrat, and put everything together. It was amazing. Oh gosh, Damien.
Well, we are so grateful that you share this stuff with us. Where, before I let you go, how can people stay in tune with the Miller legacy? I feel like I have the extreme benefit of being on the social media feeds. So I feel like I'm right there. It's great.
You're so good. We're going to launch our website. I have someone working on my website now. And frankly, if they want one of my, I have, you know, we printed, you know, after my father passed away, we probably had, he probably got 800, 900 sympathy cards. And so my job was answering all the sympathy cards and then sending programs back to the people who'd sent sympathy cards. And so we have this probably because of COVID, we didn't really have a funeral. So we have probably like a 20 page booklet of a Thomas V. Mike Miller booklet. And so if someone wants one of those, they can certainly email me at melanie@millerpartnershipconsultants.com, and we can put it over, I can put it on the link but it's Melanie at MillerPartnershipConsultants.com. And I can send you a program if you want more information. If you're interested, honestly, if your company wants to do business in the state of Maryland, and I'll say a couple more companies that I am working with. I met at this, you know, the Mako convention. The really exciting one is Medicalistics is one that I think my dad would appreciate as well. Is they end up they're helping reduce recidivism, you know, and I love it because they're using electronic health records to really help. Why are people going back to jail? Well, guess what happens in Calvert County? They found that looking at the reason why people go back to jail, one of the biggest reasons was they were being pulled over for not having a tag on their car, an expired tag, or driving without a license, things of that nature. So what Calvert County figured out is, hey, once they get it out of jail, why don't we give them a bus pass for 6 months so that they have transportation to get to a job?
Social determinants of health. Got it.
I love it. And then the other one is near and dear to my heart. And if you want, if any of the listeners, Google Bay Paddle.com. And my son had done it as well as his friend. And Bay Paddle celebrates the entire length of the bay. So last year, 7 days that you started on the bay, you started at Havre de Grace, and you paddled with a kayak. Or, you know, not in stand, some of them did stand-up paddle.
Can you do a sup for that, a stand-up paddleboard?
You can do a sup. Well, it's part of it.
Part of it.
And then my son did the kayak and his other friends. And so what they did is it starts at Havre de Grace and goes all the way down to Cape Charles. Well, that was last year. This year, we're doing it, starting at Rock Hall, and we're going to Cape Charles. So it's probably going to be about, there's one that's a 2-day trip, and then there's a 5-day trip. And the really exciting thing about this, Damien, and we're going to talk more about it at some other time, is that 100% of the donations is going to the Thomas V. Mike Miller Fund for the Chesapeake Bay Trust. Now, what is the Chesapeake Bay Trust? The Chesapeake Bay Trust, it's incredible. So it certainly, it's what we provide it with, has teachings about the Chesapeake Bay. It provides opportunities. So if you're in a high school teacher, an elementary school teacher, you could request funding to teach more about the Bay in schools. And so they're a big funder for the Chesapeake Bay, educating folks about the Chesapeake Bay. And then the other cool position, which Damien, maybe your kids would be interested in this, is the Chesapeake Bay Trust Corp. And so what the core is that a year after college or a year after high school, organizations like the Chesapeake Bay Foundation or, you know, other World Wildlife Federation, they actually will pay for half a salary for an intern. The Chesapeake Bay Trust, the core, pays the other half of the salary. And then together you have an internship that's paid for 1 year after school. And it's so important. And then most of the funding comes, and it's named after my father, Thomas C. Mike Miller, because of the fact that he created it with the partnership with Vicky, when Vicky Gruber was the chief of staff, with the money from the Bay tags, the Chesapeake Bay tags. So it's really exciting. And so that's what the Bay Paddle is raising money this year. And so last year they raised about $100,000.
The 2-day Bay Paddle experience, do you have a date for that yet?
I would have to check. It's in August. So it's in August, the last
week. Oh, cool. So we got time.
Yeah. So it's the last week of August. And the really cool thing,
I'd love to be involved in that. That sounds like an awesome thing.
I would love it. And so the other one is, so teachers from Broadneck High School actually did it last year. They got money from, and they're working to try to get money this year too. They got money to participate. And then what they did was they created a lesson plan to bring back to their students, to teach the students about the Chesapeake Bay. And so that's what I feel like the company is bringing back together, Damien, is that Miller Partnership Consultants will connect folks. So the Chesapeake Bay Trust is connecting with the Bay Paddle, is connecting with the environment with Southland, and then connecting to help with the recidivism. And I feel like all of those will tie back to what Thomas V. Mike Miller did for people in the great state of Maryland. And then just trying to keep connecting. And Damien, I'm so forever grateful for our friendship. what, for 30 years we've been doing, young Dem, or 20 years, young Dems, and then meeting through politics. It's these relationships that will always be there, because I have your back, you have my back, and we know we can count on each other. And it's one of the few lessons in politics. All you have to do is take care of it. As Dad has always said, you got to be able to trust the guy on the right, and you got to be able to trust the guy on the left, because together you can make great things happen, but you have to listen to the both sides and come together on it. And that's the greatest lesson that I have from my father, and that I bring to my business, and then and bring into my family.
Well, you're the most artful Miller communicator I've heard.
That was okay.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Thank you. You know, I think it is beautiful. I just love, you know, love working with Dad. Love his legacy. How can you imagine keeping this legacy alive? It's amazing.
You guys are doing it. You're doing it in the most special sort of way for us in this Annapolis State Circle community. And we can't thank you enough for being yourself, to have the courage to be yourself, and to bring that entrepreneurial spirit that you had back when you started at BK Miller all the way to today.
Well, you know what, when you start working a lottery machine at the age of 14 and helping someone spending 50 cents trying to make $40, you know, like, and then, you know, I'm just trying to make a dollar. And I love
Melanie Miller.
The last thing is, you know, I tell you that the quote book, we have Dad's words of wisdom. We have this book,
wow.
Mike's words of wisdom. When he started out in 1990, it was so great. And this is Chris Maruca, who wrote this book. What he did was he took all my dad's quotes from, like, he was a quote machine, because every night he would read quote books and highlight them. Well, so they put all the quotes in this book.
Oh,
and
man.
Chris Maruca in 1990 put all Dad's quotes together. So I know.
Remember what he told Martin O'Malley? Small ships should stay close to shore. Or he told Governor Glendening, like, the higher a primate climbs up the tree, the more you see their tail end, right? Well, Melanie Miller, you are doing us all a service by continuing that legacy, and we just can't thank you enough for joining us on Center Maryland.
Thank you, Damien.
I'm looking forward to that paddle boarding there.